What a great opportunity to have Sister Elaine with us today, and of course in Lexington tonight. And I've never heard her not bring something to fire up the body of Christ, because she's a stoker. You know, I find that interesting. You had the prophetic word about the coals, and she said here, I think last year, that God told you were a stoker. Amen. Well, you got the coals and the wind, and you got a stoker. You're good to go. Amen. So I'm expecting. What's that? The wind of the Holy Spirit? Okay. All right. Patty's mind works differently than ours does. We just have to understand that. The wind of the Holy Spirit, we're the coals that God's going to blow on with the wind of the Holy Spirit, with a stoker, Pastor Elaine, apostle, prophet, evangelist, stoking the coals today. And I'm expecting a blazing inferno to arise this morning. Amen. So stand if you with me. Let's welcome the woman of God today, Sister Elaine Homer.
Thank you, Pastor Jack. Well, sorry. No, I'm not either. It's good to laugh, isn't it? Patty made me laugh. You may be seated. What a great day. Don't you appreciate Pastor Jack and Patty? Don't you just love them? Esteem them. I do. I really do. Ken and I talk often of Pastor Jack. He is one in a million. He is different from everybody else you ever meet. He has a genius mind and a heart for God. Like, you know, I really love him. I want to sing a little song. I brought my music today, and I want to sing a song if you have that first one ready. And it's Wild and Crazy. Okay? So just come alive. It's called I Love Him. That's not it. It's number four. Number four. Thank you, Jesus. There you go. Look what the Lord has done. That's not it. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm gonna praise his name. Each day he's just the same. I'm gonna praise him. Look what the Lord has done. That's not it either. It's number four. Sorry. Number four. I really had this on my heart, so I said, oh, I'll sing that one. Then I said, not going to sing it. Sing the right one, okay? The one the Lord laid on my heart this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Number four. Okay. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel. I believe the Lord has given me a word this morning, an encouraging word, a very good encouraging word. So without music, I'm going to say, how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, we'll see how great. How great is our God? He has a name above all names. He is worthy of my praise. And my heart will say, how great is our God? How many believe he's great? Sing that with me one time. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. He's great, isn't he? Let me give you a testimony. A lady came to our church a month ago. She had cancer very bad in her thyroid and throat. The Lord said, pray for her, and I did. And she is totally healed of cancer, has no cancer in her body at all. Isn't that great? We are seeing God do special things right now, and it's a time of burning. It's a time of blowing of the Holy Spirit, and we are glad that we're right in the middle of it. Amen? I have two new books back on the table, brand new, and I want to sign it for you. So if you come back there and buy a book, I'd like to sign that for you today. But before that, I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verse 3. I feel a need in the body right now to talk about attitude. You say, oh, that's not very spiritual. But as I travel around the country all the time, I'm in different churches, different climates. Every church has its own personality. Every church. And I'm in different churches all the time. I'm here this Sunday and very glad to be here. You have a personality. Next week, I will be in North Carolina, Asheville, and that church is Glory Tabernacle, and it has a personality. The week after that, I'm not sure yet where I'm going to be. I know I'm going to be somewhere, but I do speak at our church in Fort Payne in between meetings. And our church has its own personality, just like you have your own personality. But there's one thing that I believe we need to do is get an attitude that your pastor just announced you're going to pray 4 hours, worship God, you're going to move over to the next place, and you're going to have Pastor Martin, Bob Martin? And you're going to have another 4 hours of praise and worship. And very few people do not have that kind of attitude. We need an attitude to go after God as never before. Now, in going after God, there is great rewards. You know, he said, everything is a conditional, every promise. He said, if you seek me, you will find me. So you could turn it around and say, if you don't seek me, you won't find me. You may be a Christian. You may have been serving God for 50 or 60 years and still not know God. Say, how do you do that? Because there are Christians that are converts, and then there are disciples. Okay? There are people, he said, let's go into the world and make disciples. So I'm finding, for instance, when a baby is born, it is a baby, right? It's a human. But it isn't mature, and it isn't grown. And it doesn't know what to do. You change its diaper. You feed it. You give it a bath. You make sure that everything is okay with the baby because it's a baby and it does not know what to do. If that baby stayed a baby for 60 years, there would be something wrong. There would be a deformality. There would be a deficit. There would be something lacking in that baby, right? And the same thing is with the children of God. Not to condemn, not to press down, but to stoke the fire that we heard about this morning. We have promises. The Bible says that we've been given precious promises. But these promises cannot come to completion unless we do what he said to make the word work. I'm going to say this just as simple as I can, because I know that God has ordained my steps today. When we are born again, we become a child of God. Amen. We are dealt the measure of faith. Yes. What do you mean the measure? I mean the measure of faith to do anything you want to do for God. When you are born again, when a baby's born, it has a brain, it has a heart, it has lungs, it has everything it needs to grow and to be what it needs to be. But it takes time for the child to mature. And I'm afraid that some people who have been born again, they are a child. They are there. They are born again. They are God's. They belong in the family. But they never go on to receive the fullness of the manifestation of God. And this is definitely not to put anyone down, but to encourage us, you and I. There is a place, and the place there is a place, and there is a place. And there is a place that we can go with God, that we can see the fullness of His glory and His power.
Yes.
Is that okay so far? Are you with me so far? Yes. Knowing that I'm not putting anyone down, I am explaining what I want to say. So here is a perfect example. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 3. And you know, I've been in the ministry. I've been in church since I can remember. But I've been singing since I was 3. And I've been preaching since I was 27. And before that, I was in the service with all kinds of preachers. Brother Norval Hayes for 30 years now. And Dave Roberson and my mom and dad. Everybody. Been to A.A. Allen's, been to Oral Roberts meetings, traveled with Leroy Jenkins, done all the preachers you can think of. And I've seen and I've heard, but I am hearing a voice from heaven. And it is crying to my heart and to my ears and saying, tell the body of Christ, don't give up. Don't give in. And don't give out. Stay true to the God, the Elohim, the El Shaddai, who is more than enough. He has already healed you. He has already made you free. He has already given you faith. He has already given you grace. He's already given you prosperity. He's already taken all your sin. He's already given you the peace that the world cannot give. Yes. And so here we are with all these things that we already have. Yet in the body, in so many places, this one has died and that one has died and that one has died and that one has gone broke and this one has left the ministry and it's 1,500, I believe, is the statistic that my husband told me. My husband keeps up with. He's a statistic guy. He said 1,500 churches have closed this year already because people are not interested in going to church. They will go see Kentucky and Tennessee play. Have you ever seen such crowds? I haven't. My little granddaughter, 18 years old, is dating the quarterback at our high school. And they're called the Wildcats of Fort Payne, Alabama. And he throws 2 and 3 touchdowns a quarter and does all these things. He's just a great little guy. So she says, Nonnie, please come and see Jordan play. And I said, what, Friday night? And she gave me one. I said, well, I can't go that one. I'm preaching. Can't go that one. I'm preaching. But I found a Friday night I could go. So here I am dressed up in my black and gold, my skinny jeans and my black and my gold shirt. And I'm out there and I'm thinking, I mean, what do I do? I don't know. But I guess I just yell when Jordan makes a good, and tell me when he makes a good one, because I don't know anything about ball. So I say, tell me when I'm supposed to yell, because I have a good voice. I can yell real loud. And so she say, Nonnie, that was good. Oh, hallelujah. That no, hallelujah out of here. No, Nonnie. Just say yay or good or that was great or just clap. Well, anyway, I am sitting around there, Pastor Jack, and I've never seen emotion like I saw there at a high school football game. And I'm thinking, wow, I mean, this guy over here was standing up and he was getting violent and he was, yeah. And then he'd get mad and he'd say, what's wrong with you, ump? And I think, oh, Lord, here we go. We're going to have a fight or something, you know. I didn't know people yell at umpires like that, but they do. And I'm thinking about, I've never seen Christians so dogmatic about Jesus in years.
Right.
Now, you have to forgive me because I come from the dancing, from the praising God, from the all-out worship, get out and run around. Hey, there's been thousands of times I'd leave my tent and run around my tent on the outside, and people get out there and run with me and carry on. See, so I'm looking for some people. God says he is looking for some people that are carried away with him, that will pray 4 hours and leave this building and go pray another 4 hours. See, you have the right leader. You have the right heart. Amen? I have all-night prayer meeting, and guess who shows up at my church? Ken and I. True. So let's read this. It's a very good example. All right. And the Philistine, or Philistine, what do you say? Philistine or Philistine? Say Steen. Okay, I'm going to say Steen. And the Philistine stood on a mountain on the one side. And Israel, God's people, stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And David was the youngest of the three eldest followed Saul. And the three eldest followed Saul. So David was at home, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said to David, his son, now take for thy brother an ephod of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistine. Steen. And David rose up early in the morning and left his sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. Now, I want you to look at David. David got up early in the morning. He made sure the sheep had a keeper. And he went and done all his father commanded him. He came to the trench as the host was going forth and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. David left his carriage in the hand of a keeper of the carriage. Everything David does, he makes sure he has all the bases covered. And he says, he came into the army, ran into the army. He didn't walk, he ran. And he came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. So the whole army of Israel is on the run because they are afraid. Now, I want to stop right there and ask you a question. What are you afraid of? All your sins are covered by the blood. He was wounded for your transgressions, right? All of them. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And then the New Testament says that his precious blood hath covered all our iniquity in Ephesians. And then he says in 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. And that word healed is not just a physical healing. That word healed is he made everything for you whole. It's a done deal. It's a done deal, right? So we don't have anything to fear. Some people are afraid of the government. You're afraid of what's going to happen. You're afraid of the elections. You're afraid of everything. I encourage you to register and vote. Vote. Please vote. But our government is not of this world. We need to pray for our president. I prayed for President Obama. I prayed for President Bush. I prayed for President Clinton. I prayed for President Reagan. I certainly pray for President Trump. And I'm not going to call him Trump. I'm going to call him President Trump. Just like I said, President Obama. So we don't have to fear, because the Lord said he's coming after his glorious church. So it doesn't matter what's going on the earth. We already know who we are, where we're going, and what we possess. And we know that God has already provided everything I need to make it through. So what do I have to do? The only thing I have to do is seek the Lord and find him every day. His blessings are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Just get up, and every morning there's something new from God. Every day, it's like dew. It's new. It's new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So David has an encouragement that he takes care of things, and he runs to the battle, and he runs up, and you know, there, he listens to what the devil says. Goliath is speaking and saying, "Who is your God? Come on and fight me." He said, I'm gonna turn your flesh over to the birds." I mean, he's just making mockery. So all the men of Israel, when they saw him, they fled because they were afraid. It didn't matter that God had done all the things he had done for them. They had forgotten the things of God. Forgotten the things of God. I cannot forget that I saw with my own eyes the dead raised. I cannot forget all the cancers that I have watched being regurgitated out of people's bodies and them healed. I can't forget at the Chattanooga Choo Choo, they brought the little girl from the Silverdale prison eaten up completely with AIDS. And God, I did not know her. I've never seen her before. And God said, go over there and tell that little girl that that damnable disease from hell is out of her body, and she was healed instantly of AIDS. I can't forget. And as long as I remember who God is, I will not be afraid. You say, are you afraid when you get on the airplane? No. Why? Because I have said, and I believe in my heart, I'll never be in a wreck in the air. The host of heaven is mighty. And the host of heaven is angels. And they go before me, and they're to my left, and they're to my right, and they're behind me. In the spirit of a living God. Is with us. Look at your neighbor right there and say, the spirit of a living God is upon me. Hallelujah. And I know this is an Old Testament story that everyone has heard in Sunday school. But watch this. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man? And that's what the church world is saying to you right now. They're not talking about the coals of fire. They're saying, oh, this one's closing. Oh, you know, that one's dying. Where is God? Is he coming back? I thought you said Jesus is coming soon years ago. What's going to happen? And I'm telling you, don't look at the enemy anymore. Don't look at the size of your battle. Don't look at what the doctor's report said. The doctor's report is what they know, but the doctor's report is not what God says. Come on. Amen. Who do you believe? And they told him, they said, look at this. Have you seen this man? Surely this man has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man, and you know what? And my computer just went crazy. Hold on. Hallelujah. Right? Right. Go away. Thank you. I talk to computers. They don't listen. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches. Now here's a young boy, and he has an attitude that he's not afraid and that he knows who he is. But now the attitude is the reward. And I want to tell you today, get your attitude on the reward. Let's start talking about the reward. Let's quit talking about what the government won't do, what they will do, what the doctor says, what your pocketbook says, what your checkbook might say. Let's start talking about the reward of the righteous man and woman that you are. Hallelujah. He never talks about anything that he don't talk about a reward. Seek me, find me. Cry out to me. What is it? Psalms 107:20 says, and they cried unto the Lord, and he heard them and sent his word and healed them. What did they do first? They cried out. What was the reward? He sent his word and healed them. God's always got a reward on his mind. God is in the giving business. He wants to give to you more than you want to receive it. It's amazing to me how God gives. Isn't it? It's almost a game sometimes how God returns what you have given. It's amazing. So he says, David spoke to the man, you know, and Israel, the men of Israel said, have you seen this man? Man, the guy that can kill him is going to have a riches. The king is going to bless him with great riches. Number one, multiplicity. Multiplication. We go to number two. He says, and he's going to give him his virgin daughter. And number three, his house is going to be free from taxes. Hello. Isn't that all? Oh, that's awesome. So now the attitude of being brave, going in, keep the sheep, take care of the carriage. No, I'm not afraid. I see this guy. But now we've moved into another attitude, and the church needs to move into another attitude. Yeah. We're not tired. We used to sing those old songs. I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger, traveling through this world of woe. Nobody knows what a load I carry. Forget it. I'm not a pilgrim and a stranger in this world. I know a lot of good, godly people, but best of all, I know who Jesus is. I know who the name and what the name will do, and I know how to call on his name. So I'm not a pilgrim, and I'm not a stranger, and I'm not traveling through this world. Whoa, are you kidding me? Wake up every day with God living inside of me, out of my belly flowing rivers of living water, and you telling me you're in a whoa? No! I got a belly full of Jesus. I love Creflo Dollar's testimony. I'm sorry. I love that one testimony. I don't agree with everything everybody does, but one thing I do agree with, he was told he had prostate cancer so bad, it was eating him up. He was going to die. He had prostate cancer so bad. And so he went and locked himself up in his room. And he said, he walked the floor and he said, I can't have cancer in me because Jesus lives in me. I can't have cancer in me because Jesus lives in me. So he went back in 6 weeks for his MRI, and the screams and the wailing of the nurses when they came out of the pathologist looking at the x-rays, because they seen the face of Jesus in his stomach. But he had what he said. God won't do it for Creflo Dollar, not do it for you. He said,
How can I have cancer in my body when Jesus lives in me? Jesus lives in me. Jesus lives in me. Jesus lives in me. And guess what happened? They saw it on the x-ray. And he don't have cancer anymore. That's a reward. We need to get in the attitude that we have what we say. We need to change our attitude. It's not that we're not children of God. It's not that we don't have our ticket to heaven. It's not that we're not in the family of God. It's that we need an attitude adjustment about what we have, who we are, where we're going. We're not giving up. We're not giving in, and we're not giving out. Somebody say, yeah. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord. Woo. 26th verse. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach? They've already told him once, right? But David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what is the reward of the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And I ask you, who is the devil that he thinks he can bring you down? You are a child of the Most High God. You don't have a problem with who you are. You got a problem with knowing it and getting the attitude of who you are. Yes. Hallelujah. Whew, glory to God. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall this be done to the man that killeth this Philistine. And Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and his anger was kindled against David. And he said, why did you even come here? And to whom hast thou left the few sheep in the wilderness with? I know your pride. I know your naughtiness. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. In other words, you little nosy boy. Why'd you come down here? Just want to sneak around, and who'd you leave the sheep with? You're always going to have a bunch of people around you. I don't care where you go to church. I don't care how much you love God. You're going to have somebody around you that's going to try to change your attitude. When you go in with a fighting attitude, don't look at people's faces. If you're around people that are negative, Thanksgiving's coming up and Christmas is coming up, and we all have to be around all our families. You may have some family members that don't believe like you. You may have family members that don't agree you're healed when you know you are. You may have family members that don't see all the riches you really have. They just kind of look at the car you drive. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. People cannot change your attitude when your attitude is full of the things that God has already done. So this eldest brother came up just to steal from David. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Well, why, what have I done? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after and the former manner. And then the words were heard which David spoke, and they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent him away. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go fight this Philistine. And Saul said, you're not able to go up against him and fight for him. You're just a boy and a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose again, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Now that's the attitude that I want to have. I want to look back at all the testimonies and all the places I've already come from. Yeah. And I want to say, God, you were there, and you were there, and you done that, and you provided there, and I know you're going to do it again. Yeah. Yeah. Because if he's ever done it for anybody or anyone, and you can find it in the Bible, he's going to already do it for you. Yeah. Yeah. The attitude should be, I've already been there and done that. I'm well able to walk through the next storm. Don't get it in your mind. The charismatic religious world is full of this. The Word of Faith movement, after you get saved, you won't have any more trouble. That is a joke. You're always going to be walking in a storm, out of a storm, in a storm, out of a storm, in a storm. But notice, you always come out. Notice you are on the rock. Your feet is on the rock. Your name is on the roll. And you, if the Old Testament David could slay a lion and a bear and stand up and say, I am not afraid, I can take this down that defies the army of God, then you've got the power to take every gainsayer down that comes against the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. He lives in you. God lives in you. Amen. This is the attitude that we want. This is the attitude that God wants. He wants us to remember everything that we've already been through, because we know if he's already done it that time, he'll do it over and over again. There used to be a little song that says, he'll do it again. He'll do it again. Just take a look at where you are now and where you've been. Hasn't he always come through for you? He's the same God as then. You may not know how. You might not know when. But he'll do it again. It's going to be done. The power of God is strong. Yes. Amen? Amen. And we have the attitude of David. I'm well able to fight. I am not going under. Although I do like the reward. Let's see. What was that again? I'm going to have half of the king's riches. I'm going to marry his daughter, and nobody in my house again will pay taxes. What the reward? You know what? The reward should be enough to make our attitude change. What's our reward? You might think it's funny. Say, well, everybody in the olden days talked about heaven. They all sung about heaven. We don't sing a lot about heaven anymore. We sing about the now. And that's good, but I think sometimes we do need to look at the reward. A place where there will be no tears. A place there will be no sin. A place there will be no prejudice. There will be no racist. There will be no bigamy. There will be no adultery. There will be no idolatry, no adultery, no fornication. There will be no hurt. There will be no starving children. There will be no abortion. There will not be any of that. No cancer. No tuberculosis, no sugar diabetes, no arthritis. See, so many people now with arthritis, it's because of the food they eat. I hate to tell you that. Arthritis is a complete because of food. Complete. Don't get mad at me. Arthritis is a thing that happens from inflammation. Inflammation is a direct descendant of wrong eating. That went over like a lead balloon. I feel all your spirits, but it's okay. I love you anyway. And it's a proven fact. I shouldn't say these things, but I probably will anyway. I check on your water. I check on your water in your city. You have fluoride in your water. Fort Payne, Alabama is the number 3 worst cities in the world for water where I live. You go to the dentist and you get fluoride on your teeth and they say it's okay. If you look on the back of your Colgate or any of your toothpaste, it will have a warning on it. Do not let small children swallow this. It is poison. And it's not just poison for them. It's poison for you. And they say, why is it poison? They're doing research right now. Why is toothpaste? I mean, you know, we've heard of everything. Why toothpaste? Because fluoride is poison. Absolutely poison. And every city puts it in their water now. And you can't boil it out. And you can't reverse osmosis out. Not fluoride. It don't come out. So this morning, as I was reading and I was just talking to the Lord, I thought, I'm going to look up my city. And I was, it's number 3 worst water system in the world. New Jersey, in the nation, New Jersey, Fort Payne and Maine, are number two, and number three is New York. And you're really close. And I was thinking about these things, and I'm thinking, people better have the attitude of healing. If you go and drink something at Panera, you're getting tea that's made out of bad water. If you drink coffee at Starbucks, you're getting it there. You can say, well, I'll just go get distilled water. Well, yeah, you can. But if you're going to be on the road like I am, I don't have the choice sometimes. I travel all the time. So what am I going to do? I'm going to have the attitude that David had. I'm not going to fear. I'm going to do everything I can to do right. Because if I don't have sugar diabetes, and my numbers are great, but if I had sugar diabetes and I ate 3 chocolate pies a week, I would not be doing what God wanted me to do. Wow. So, same thing in the spiritual as the physical. Do I want to be healed? Do I want to have a good attitude spiritually? Then I got to get the junk out and do what I know to do. So what do I know to do to change my attitude? I take a story back in the Old Testament and I look at this, because the Old Testament is still given for our examples. And then I go over to the New Testament and I take the story of a man named Peter and John. And they walked up to a beautiful gate and they had a man there begging. And they say, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, such as I have, I give unto you. And they gave the man the healing out of their belly, that's flowing rivers of living waters. And he got up because strength came into his ankle bones. And he got up and started leaping and jumping. And he ran into the temple and he was leaping and jumping because he'd never walked in his life. But they had something on the inside of them that they gave him. And he was well. So I want an attitude of making sure I have something to give. David said, what's the reward? Well, what's my reward? My reward is, the Bible says, the more you give, the more you receive. So if I give out healing, 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 I'm going to have healing, 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 healing. And if I give money, I'm going to have money, 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 money. You know, and if I give out love, I'm going to have love, 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 love. Everybody won't love you. In case you didn't know. Everybody won't love you, but God's going to give you enough people to love you that you'll never be sad. You'll never be lonely. You know, you'll never be crazy. You have the mind of Christ. You say, oh, what about the dementia? What about the Alzheimer's? What about everything that's happening? Just scream out to the devil and say, I'm not dependent on my brain. I have the mind of Christ. And he don't have dementia and Alzheimer's. And he don't forget. He's well away. He don't have senior moments. Don't ever say, I've got a senior moment. Don't ever take a senior moment. What's the reward, Elaine, for me? I'll tell you what the reward is for you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. What's your reward? I have the name of Jesus that I can use morning, noon, or night, and every devil bows their knee to the name. Woo! Hallelujah! I have a voice that I can lift up, and I can sing loud, and I can praise him, and I can jump for joy because I'm walking. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm a stoker. So David said to Saul, I've already killed the lion and the bear. And you know what? 38th verse, Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girdled his sword upon his armor. And as he stayed to go, for he had not proven the armor, he could not go, he could not fight. David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. So we're living in a generation, you know, that the body's saying, well, you know, maybe God don't do miracles anymore. I hear churches and pastors say, well, you know, he didn't heal everybody. He didn't. Did he save everybody? Did he heal everybody? Whether we get it or not, he still supplied it. Everybody won't be saved, but he supplied it. So the attitude is, yes, he did heal everybody. everybody. With his stripes, you were healed. So it's a done deal. So you've got to prove that to yourself. How do you prove it? How do you prove God raises the dead? Well, let somebody die in your Sunday morning service. And you're not used to praying for dead people. And all of a sudden, somebody comes over and says, Pastor Elaine. I said, yes. Said, Elizabeth's dead. I said, dead? She's dead. And I go over there, you know, and I think, oh, man, I've been preaching on healing for 6 weeks. Really? They were passing tapes all over town. It's when we had cassette tapes. About 18 years ago. And I walked over and I said, oh, my goodness. She's purple. Her mouth is open. Her eyes are open. She's laid over. And about that time, I had a paramedic, a trained paramedic up in the choir. And I said, Frank, would you go back there and check her? He goes back there. He said, that woman's dead. She don't have any pulse at all. And then another one of Donna Crane. And she went back there and said, she's dead. She don't have any heartbeat, nothing. And I looked around and I thought, oh, my goodness. Here I have been preaching all this stuff and somebody's going to die on Sunday morning. They're going to have to bring I'm thinking they're going to bring the ambulance and the gurney and they're going to haul her out of here. And I preach healing. I said, no, I can't do this. So I went over there and I said, come back to your body. And nothing happened. About that time, a lady stood up on the back row. She said, hello, miss. I said, well, what else is going to happen? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I am a physician's assistant. I'm a PA. I work in the surgery operating room. I see people die all the time. Do you mind if I check her? I said, well, yeah, you're a doctor. Come on, check her. She checked her. She said, the woman's dead. I said, who are you? She said, I was just driving down I-59 Interstate this morning from Mississippi going on a trip. And the Lord said, get off at exit 218. And I obeyed the Lord. See, what kind of attitude? What kind of attitude would you have that you believe you hear God's voice so strong that you're driving down the road and he says, get off at exit 218. And you get off and then you drive down the road and he says, go into that church today. And here she was in my church. And see, God had her there, a doctor. And so she comes in. And she said, the woman is expired. I said, okay. Mouth of three witnesses, let every word be established. She's dead. And so I said, come back to your body, Elizabeth. And she was just nothing happening. I turned around and looked at my dad and I said, Daddy. He said, Elaine, she's gone. I said, no. And I walked over there and I said again, come back to your body. Elizabeth, I call you back. And nothing happened. And all of a sudden, I remembered. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every break every chain. So I walked back over there and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come back to your body. And I saw one little eyelash just go. That's like that, just one side. I said, hey, I got an eyelash. One eyelid. And the other one didn't move, just one, just going down like that. And I said, whoo! I said, get up! And about that time, Elizabeth turned around. She said, I was going straight up to this gorgeous light. It was this most wonderful, peaceful, swirling up to a light. And I heard you say, come back to your body, but I didn't have to obey you. I didn't have to obey you. And she said, you said it again. I said, yes, I did. And she said, but when you said, I command you in the name of Jesus, come back to your body. She said, I just went, and here I am. And I said,
There's a reward for having the right attitude to believe that God is God and besides him there is not another. Hallelujah. That's the reason you have a pastor that wants to pray. That's the reason you have somebody that wants to lead you into this place. Because there is a place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whew.
You know, some people say that I'm too loud. But if you had dead people raised and things that happened like they happened to me, I can't stand it. I just get like a tea kettle. You have to let the steam off sometimes. Amen. Make a long story short. 41st verse, and the Philistine came on and drew near David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he's just a boy. He was just but a youth, a ruddy, fair countenance, complexion, no suntan, boy. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come out to hear to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. I want you to get the attitude today that the name of Jesus is a strong tower and the righteous run into it and are saved. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say the name of
Jesus.
Speak the name of
Jesus.
Say the name louder.
Jesus.
Jesus. Speak the name. Like Jesus, no other name of heaven. There's no other name I know. He's so loving and kind and true. He is so pure and kind. And his name will move mountains if you say, Jesus. Raise your hands and give God a great big cheer. Jesus. Say it again. No other name I know. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved.
Jesus.
I like having you sing with me. Could put you on my next album. Jesus. Yeah. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Reaching higher far than the highest star. He's sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the world proclaim, what a lovely name. Soon he'll come in clouds of glory to receive us home to our final home. Oh, yes, yes, yes. The angels are singing up in glory. What a lovely name. What a lovely name.